All right, let's do this. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to look at several passages, but why don't you go to 1 John 5, back towards the back of your Bible. Before we receive the Lord's Supper tonight, I want to give you a lesson tonight entitled, Who Was Jesus Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? 1 John 5. It's actually going to be a part one, part two. Next Wednesday night, I'll give you part two of this. But, you know, if you ask the question, who was Jesus Christ? And if you ask that to 100 people on the street, you think you might be shocked at some of the answers? Who was Jesus Christ? Ask 100 people randomly that question. Who was Jesus Christ? You'd be shocked at the answers you get. Would you agree with me tonight, church, that Satan does not want people to know and understand who Jesus Christ was? They don't want to. Satan doesn't want them to know who he was when he walked the earth, nor does he want people to know who Jesus Christ is today, what he's doing today. He wants to blind people from the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it revolves around the personage of Jesus Christ. They say, I've heard it said, that you can see Christ on every page of the Bible in some way. And that's, there's a lot of truth in that. Way back in Genesis 3, you have the promise of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15, there in the Garden of Eden. Right there, he's mentioned. So you've got Christ all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I put together here a chart. I'll go ahead and just bring it up. I think it'll kind of help you. You can look at it as I'm talking, and I think it might help you. This is a really nice chart that will help. I've never used it before. Jesus Christ, it says, the King from Genesis to Revelation. And I put this together a couple days ago, and then Brian actually did it, but he designed it. But I put together this chart to help you to see, number one, how Christ is all through the Bible, but number two, to kind of give you a, if you look at all the books of the Bible there at the bottom of the chart, you'll notice there we go from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is laid out in a very user-friendly way that is laid out in a way you don't have Genesis and then Matthew, you know, or, you know, you don't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Romans without Acts as a bridge to take you to Romans. The Bible is laid out in a way that is very helpful to anyone who wants to understand the Bible. For example, in Genesis through Malachi, which is the Old Testament, we call it, but those books give us pictures, types, prophecies about Jesus Christ. They anticipate this Messiah, this coming King that's going to come to the earth. He's going to redeem God's people, Israel. He's going to establish a kingdom on earth. And so, throughout the pages of the Old Testament, you have the King revealed. And he's revealed in Genesis through Malachi, prophetically, he's revealed in the pages there as the prophets write. But then you move into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which you know, we call that the New Testament. Of course, we know from studying that there can't be a new one until the cross, but you know, we call it the New Testament. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those books reveal to us Jesus Christ when he walked the earth. He was fully divine, yet he was fully human. Here we have the King revealed, but not prophetically. Now the prophecies have come true. Now the King is revealed personally. The Word is made flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And so, you know, no man has seen God at any time, but the Son has revealed Him to us. So now we got the King revealed. He actually, there was a time in history, there was a point in time when the Bible says the fullness of the time was come, and God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them from the law. So you got the King revealed prophetically in Genesis through Malachi. Then you got the King revealed personally. He makes a personal appearance on planet Earth. And it begins in Bethlehem, what she just sung about. So the King is revealed now personally. Okay? But then beginning with Acts, you know what happens. Christ is the king is rejected. He comes, he's revealed, but Israel says, away with him. We don't want him. Crucify him. The Romans are glad to oblige him. So the Jews and the Gentiles come together. They crucify the Messiah. They take the king, put him on a cross. 3 days later, he rises up from the dead, and then he ascends back into heaven. So now the king is rejected. We are living, and you notice that's where we're at on the timeline here, Acts through Philemon, okay, which is the book of Acts, gives you the transition to Paul, from Peter to Paul. Paul reveals the time of grace instead of God bringing wrath. When the world rejected the king, the Messiah, God was supposed to pour out his wrath. But hidden in God was a secret purpose in which instead of pouring out wrath, now God's pouring out his grace to the world through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so we're living in the time period of the king rejected. He is rejected. The king has gone away in exile to heaven. He makes a personal appearance. He's rejected. He goes away to heaven. And so now we're living in the time period of the king rejected by the world, but yet instead of the wrath coming, he's pouring out his grace instead, and he's offering peace to all of his enemies in the world through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we're going to celebrate tonight. Can I get a good hearty amen out there, huh? Yeah. That's what we're going to celebrate tonight. The fact that he made a complete sacrifice for our sin. And now he's offering peace and grace to his enemies in the world. Instead of judging and making war, he says, I'm going to give you grace and peace. All because of Jesus Christ. And now he's up, you notice the king rejected is up high. Why? Because he's up in heaven. He's ascended far above all principality and power in heavenly places. And now the king is revealing himself in a different way today. He's not revealing himself as a mighty warrior king who judges and makes war on the ungodly. Today he's revealing himself to the world as the head, the risen and ascended head. And he's the head of a brand new organism that he's forming called the church, the body of Christ. Are you part of that tonight? That's what he's doing today. It's the king rejected. So what does he do? There's this hidden purpose. And now he's revealing himself in a completely different way to the world that was unknown previously. He's revealing himself as the head of a brand new organism, a new man, the Bible says. Jew and Gentile made one, the church, the body of Christ. But then, once the dispensation of grace ends, you've got the tribulation in which God is going to bring wrath on a world that's rejected his son. That's what we call the tribulation up here. And then at the end of those 7 years, you've got the king who returns. He returns to the earth and he sets up that kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you have the king reigning during that 1,000-year kingdom. In the books of Hebrews, through Revelation, they are going to open up and reveal to us what Christ is going to do when he begins to make his enemies his footstool, and it culminates with his return to the earth as King of Kings. So you can see here that this is a very user-friendly chart. We'll have this thing online tomorrow if you want to go download it and print it. It'd be a good thing for you to keep in your Bible. Or maybe you can decrease the size and fit it on a front page of your Bible somewhere. But you got the king revealed prophetically in Genesis through Malachi. I mean, the Old Testament, Christ is everywhere. You just see him everywhere. You see him in the tabernacle and all the instruments of the tabernacle. You see him in Genesis. You see him all through Psalms. You mean, we did studies, didn't we, in Psalms, where it's as if you're at the foot of the cross watching everything. Remember when we studied the Psalm 22? It's like you're at the foot of the cross, and the writer of Psalms there is prophetically writing what's going to happen at the cross 1,000 years later. And so you got the king who's revealed prophetically in Genesis through Malachi. But then he's born in Bethlehem, and he reveals himself personally to the world. And then you've got the king here who's rejected. That begins right here. The king is rejected. They crucify him. He ascends up, where he now assumes that place in heaven as the rejected king who's now revealing himself as the head of a new body, a new organism. And then he's going to begin to pour out the wrath. During this time, the king returns. So the king revealed, the king rejected, but the king will return to the earth. And when he returns, the king is going to reign. He's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth. Do you guys see that this is a book about Jesus Christ? This is a book about Jesus from beginning to end. Okay, are y'all with me tonight? Would you agree with me then that as a Christian, if you're a believer tonight, you need to know what you believe about Jesus Christ? And you know what? Not only do you need to know what you believe, you better know where to go in the Bible to prove what you believe. There's no way you can impact other people for Christ until you know specifically what you believe about Jesus Christ. Why? Because anytime you engage yourself, anytime you engage another person in a spiritual conversation, the discussion is always going to come back to who? Sure, if I go out here and I engage somebody in a spiritual discussion, well, at some point, if the conversation continues, the conversation is going to turn to Jesus Christ. And it's going to turn to, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you what I believe about Jesus Christ. And when I begin to tell them, they say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I better be able to go in the Bible and show them authoritatively in the Bible why I believe what I believe about Jesus Christ. The gospel of salvation is Jesus Christ. What a person believes about Jesus Christ is the difference between heaven and hell. What a person believes about Jesus Christ is the difference between eternal life or eternal damnation. Look at 1 John 5, and this is where I want you to see 1 John 5:10. John writes, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is where? It's in his Son. He that hath the Son," if you got Jesus, what do you got? You got life. "But he that hath not the Son of God," if you don't have Jesus, what is it you don't have? You don't have life. Look at verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Do you know you got eternal life tonight? You can know it. You see, what you believe about Jesus Christ is the difference between heaven and hell. Look at 2 John. Go to the next page. 2 John. And look at verse number 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ," look what he says. What is it? Have not God. Would you agree with me that what you believe about Jesus is very important? Well, according to the Bible, it is. Because he said, when you transgress the doctrine of Christ, you hath not God. Okay, look at it. "He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Would you say that what we believe about Jesus Christ is important? Amen. Let's go to Paul in Galatians chapter number 1. And notice how important, again, this thing is about what you believe about Jesus Christ. Galatians 1. And look at verse number 6. I'm just going to whet your appetite tonight, okay? And then next week, we're going to come back and we're going to look at what the Bible says about who Jesus Christ is. Look at Galatians 1 verse 6. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of" who? "Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be" what? "Cursed. Hey, if an angel, and I don't believe this would happen, but if an angel could somehow appear to you and give you direct revelation, and that angel says to you anything contrary to the gospel that Paul lays out and reveals in Romans, he went here in Galatia, Bible says he went to Jerusalem and he taught his gospel to Peter, James, and John. He communicated unto them the gospel he preached among the Gentiles. And he lays it out for us in the book of Romans. And if an angel came and preached to you something contrary to Paul's gospel, but it was an angel, would you believe it? I hope not. Because Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What you believe about Jesus Christ, friend, is real, real important. Go to the right, a couple books here. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's right past Colossians. We've been studying that verse by verse. We'll get back to that after the first of the year. But go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 7. Paul said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus, that's who we're celebrating tonight, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Remember, he was revealed in Bethlehem. He was revealed on the earth, but they rejected him. One day he'll reveal, that's what the word, where we get the word revelation. One day he's going to reveal himself again to the world. But look how he reveals himself the second time. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, not on earth. When he was revealed on earth, he was revealed in Bethlehem on the earth. This time he's revealed from heaven. Heaven, Revelation 19 says heaven is opened. And he said, and I saw a white horse, and I saw somebody riding it, judging and making war with the ungodly. And Paul said, when heaven opens up, and when Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. He's not coming like a baby in Bethlehem. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Whew. Would you agree with me? It's important what you believe about Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, when people stand before God one day, the key questions that will determine their eternal destiny, the key questions are two. What did you believe about my son? And number two, what did you do with my son? What did you believe about him? And what did you do with him? Did you receive him or reject him? Did you join in on the rebellion on earth and reject him like they did at the cross? Or did you receive him? What does the Bible teach about Jesus Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? When he was born in Bethlehem, who was he? Let me ask you a question. Was he just a good man? Was he simply a mighty prophet? Was he just a moral teacher? Was he simply a pattern of God-likeness? No, I want to submit to you, and we'll talk more about this next week because we really need to do the Lord's Supper tonight, and we want to worship this one that we adore called Jesus Christ, our Savior. But here's what I want to get into next week, and this is very important that you know this and that you understand this. And when someone asks you what you believe about Christ, and you tell them, you need to be able to back it up. But here's what we're going to talk about next week. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a mighty prophet. He wasn't just a moral teacher. He wasn't a pattern of godlikeness. He was God manifested in a body of flesh. He was the incarnation of the Godhead. He was the incarnation of the Godhead. And that's really all I'm going to say other than this. What we're going to celebrate right here with the bread and with the cup. The cup represents the blood he shed on the cross. The bread represents his body that he gave on that cross. He said, he told the Father, he said, a body thou hast prepared me. Why did God prepare him a body? Why was he born into the world? Why was he born in Bethlehem? Why did he get a body of flesh and blood like us? Why? Why would he have to be incarnated? Why would he have to come and be born as a human being and come into our world like us? Why would he have to do that? I'm going to tell you exactly why. It's so he could go to that. Only a human being can die. Angel spirits can't die. Angels can't die. Only a human being can die. He had to be incarnated and come and take on our flesh and blood. Bible says he didn't take on him the nature of angels. Well, we better be glad he didn't. He didn't take on the nature of angels. Hebrews 2 says that he took on the nature of flesh and blood. Why? It's what we're going to celebrate tonight. So he could go to that cross. And as that cup represents his blood, so he could shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And it's so that he could give his body. In his body, the Bible says he bore our sins. He took the full wrath and punishment of God against sin. He absorbed the wrath of God for you and I. The hammer that would have come down on you came down on Christ on that cross. Praise the Lord. He died for us. But if had he not been incarnated as a human being there in Bethlehem, wouldn't have mattered because he wouldn't have been able to do that. It started there in Bethlehem. When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son. Made of a woman. He was a human being. But yet he was God. He was God manifest in a human fleshly body. Is it any wonder Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Aren't you thankful that he was, church? He was manifested in the flesh. Let's stop there, and next week we're going to get into how that Jesus was God in the flesh. And I'm going to show you scripturally how you can back that up and show people that. What I want to do right now is just bow our heads and close our eyes, and if you're here tonight, and maybe you've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? If you don't know that for sure, if you don't know that you have eternal life, boy, tonight's the night that you need to know that. You need to get that settled. So with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you're here right now, under the sound of my voice, and you want to know how to be saved, you want to know Christ in a personal way, I'm going to have Pastor Rich stand right here. And it's going to be a little hard for me to get down, but I'm going to have Pastor Rich stand right here. And with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if you would like to know Christ in a personal way, you can come to him right now. Right now. No one's looking. You just leave your seat and come. And we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know that you have eternal life. Never-ending life. If you need to come, you come right now.